busy and we couldn't show the whole museum, it'll be clean when we leave.
She runs the thing. Yeah. Oh, she's nice good. Lady. She's boy, she reads it.
You need someone like that. All right.
A little tighter. Yeah.
Here we go.
We're going.
We're all set?
We're on?
Yep.
We're all set.
All set.
Ready to go?
Yep. All set.
Yogi, thank you for being here. We want to start at the beginning. Tell us your first thoughts about baseball. Who gave you your first glove? What's your first memory of a baseball game or playing catch?
Oh, my gosh. I think I started when I was about 13. On the hill in St. Louis and with Gary Joe, we had our own club, you know, Stags AC, they called it. And we played against other clubs. And we played it all day. That's the thing, you know. I don't think they do enough of that today, play all day. Now, when we get the kids here at the museum, first thing I tell them, this game is not played just one day. You got to play every day to learn anything about it. And we did. I know we had times, my dad come home from work. At 4:30, we knew we had to drop everything because he wanted this can of beer on that table. You did that, then you go out and play again. Then you go, you come back eating, and then you go out and play again. We played until dark, we did. And whatever sports was in season, we played. We played football, we played soccer, and I loved the game. I loved to play the game of baseball. It was a lot of fun, like you saw. See me play, I enjoy it. You get to talk to everybody, you know, and you know people. You get to meet a lot of good people in this game.
When you were coming along, it was tough times. I mean, the Depression, mm-hmm. and your father was a working man.
Yes.
Who did you look up to? Were the Cardinal players your first heroes?
Well, Joe Medwick was my hero because I liked him because I had a newspaper on the corner selling papers. And he was my customer. The papers were only 3 cents at that time. And he gave me a nickel, 2 cents tip. That was a lot of money. Yeah. I said, he's my favorite. Yeah. But I did admire him anyhow. You know, maybe that's where I learned how to hit the bat balls or something. You know, we used to go to the ball games like Saturday. We had a lady across the street that took us to the ball game. We didn't go every Saturday, not unless we had a game on that Saturday. And that's the way it started. We played everything. We had games. We played softball in the morning, and then baseball in the afternoon. We had a game we called Corkball, was a league. We played with a broomstick and little bottle caps. We had a league in that. We played every sport there was. And you don't need 9 guys either. You need a pitcher and a catcher. You learn how to, in that Corkball, or to play with bottle caps. You don't need 2 guys, pitcher and a catcher.
But you were always a good athlete. Garaggio always said that you were the quarterback when they played football. You were always the passer. And were you always a good hitter? Could you hit from the very beginning?
Well, I didn't think anybody could strike me out. I know that. Yeah. I don't know. But I hit good when I played American Legion ball. I owned a lot to American Legion. I think American Legion really helped me out. You know, you're playing against kids your size, your age, 15, 16. Because I went away at 17, played ball, and I loved the game. You know, I didn't only play for the American Legion team. We don't forget, we had the Stags AC. We played there too, you know. And
Tell us about those clubs in St. Louis. How many were there?
Oh, my gosh.
What lengths did you go to get to the games? How'd you choose up sides, if you will?
Yeah, well, St. Louis, we played a team called the Edmontons. They played at Roosevelt High School. That was about 5 or 6 miles away from us. We walked there. We actually walked over there. Or if a guy had a bike, you know, you ride on the handlebars and go over there. And but we managed to do it. And then we played at Sublet Park where we lived. And all the clubs, we had the Hips, the Falcons, the Panthers, Hawks, Nightingales, Wildcats. We had every game, the Panthers. We had more clubs than we compete against each other.
And the big day was Sunday, I believe. Did you say you practiced all week?
All week. You practiced all week. And you played Sunday. And like Saturdays was a day ball, we had to get up early in the morning. Either Joe or I got up early in the morning so we'd get the field so nobody beat us to it, you know, so we could practice.
Was there a coach? Was there any man or adult who?
No, we did our own coaching.
Who was your first coach in the American Legion? Was there somebody that?
Jack McGuire. He was a scout for the Cardinals. He managed us 2 years in the American Legion. His son played, his son was named Jack McGuire. He played with the Giants. Came up with the Giants. Bobby Huffman, I played with. He was on the same American Legion team. And he worked for the Yankees for a while there, Clay. You remember him. He was a good guy. But Bobby was great. So was Jack McGuire. He lives in Florida now. We had a few guys. Russ Steger made All-American at Illinois. We had. Played against G. Mark and Nippy Jones. We played their American Legion team in 42.
And Yogi, what position were you playing in those days?
I wasn't a catcher until I turned pro. Yeah. I played outfield or third base. And once in a while, if we need a pitcher, I pitch.
And you always hit left-handed? I mean,
always left-handed, yeah.
So nobody turned you around and made you a left-hander?
Somebody was saying my brother. I don't remember it. I really don't. You're talking about a ball player. That was a ball player, my brother.
Yeah.
My oldest brother was a good ball player. My dad wouldn't let him go. He didn't believe in baseball. All my brothers could have gone as far as that goes.
Yeah.
To play ball. And they wouldn't let him go. My dad didn't know anything about baseball. That's going out fooling around, come home dirty or something like that. And my brother's the one said, give him a chance to play. We're all working, so we got a chance.
Was it an immigrant community, and was baseball kind of a foreign
concept? Yeah, St. Louis, yeah. We had a lot of good players on the hill in St. Louis. Then they get a chance to go. Then a few of them got to play on there. Phil Alotta, Lua Pizzoni, he played with the Yankees for a little while. He was from the hill. But the old time, we had some pretty good players up there, but they never got a chance to play.
Tell us about life in the family. Obviously, the church was probably a big influence in those days with the Italians, and I know Joe is
very
religious.
Well, Joe went to Catholic school. I went to public school, and it did. We had the mass, you know, today masses are, you know, they're 7:30 or 8 o'clock in the morning. We start from 5 in the morning up, and they go to church. We went, we had to go make our first communion and everything, go to catechism and all that.
But who gave you the values? I've said that you are remarkable in that you've protected your reputation and your standing through a very long life. You obviously got a lot from your parents.
Oh, I think my dad did that to me very well, because he always gave a rule, you know, when you go out at night, he'll tell you what time you're coming home. I'd say 9 o'clock, I'll be home. If you're not home at 9, look out, because you made the time.
Yeah.
He always told me, I didn't make the time, you did. Because we didn't have no telephone, the call, we're late. Yeah, so you better be home. The other time, that one thing I enjoyed, my dad used to do, he always said, what time are you going to be home? That's the main thing. And you better be home at that time, because he started worrying. And
what did he do for a living, Yogi?
Worked in a brickyard with Joe Gargiulo's dad. They both worked in the same place. My brother and Mickey's brother worked in Jerry's restaurant in St. Louis.
How many in your family, Yogi? How many brothers?
Well,
sisters?
Three other brothers and one sister. The only one living now is my sister.
So you played American Legion ball, and there obviously was a Cardinal scout. Why was it that the Cardinals?
They begged him to scout. Yeah. I think you heard the story. I've said it so many times. Branch Rickey was there. He knew he was going to the Dodgers. But at that time, you know, that they would look at me, scouting and everything. And he told me I'd never be a big league ball player. And so Leo Brown knew George Weiss pretty good up there in New Haven.
Yeah.
And he called George, right? I got a kid, all he wants is $500, you know, the sign. And he sent John Schulte, the old coach we had over there, to come over and sign me. And John, they didn't see me play. They didn't see me play at all. And but McGuire begged them, you know, to sign me.
Yeah, he knew you because you've been playing.
That's right. I played with him, but what do you call Tom? After I signed my contract, though, Faye, I get a telegram from Ricky to report to Bear Mountain spring training. In other words, you know, at that time, that was tampering, you know. Yeah. And he couldn't tell me, you know, that he was going, I want to keep you for the Dodgers.
Did you ever say anything to him about those days after you were established?
No, I never did.
But Joe went with the Cardinals.
Cardinals, right. He went with the Cardinals. He got $500. I wanted $500.
That's right.
And the funny part, Lou Maguire, I knew very well. He followed us in American Legion ball with the Browns. And the Browns wouldn't even give me $500. And Maguire begged them to give me $500. The guy said, well, if the Cardinals didn't give him $500, why should we give him $500?
And what about Earl Weaver? Wasn't he around at that?
No, Weaver came after me.
He was later. Mm-hmm.
But for the people who don't understand, what did $500 represent in those days?
Oh, quite a bit. I guess so. It was real good. The one thing, though, I signed for $90 a month. And I played in Norfolk my first year. I forget what we were getting every 2 weeks, maybe $35 or $30. And that, you had to get a rented house and all that. And I sent home from my mom, Mom, send me $5. She said, I'll send it, but don't tell your father.
Even after you signed, was your father reluctant to support your decision, or did he become a baseball fan?
Oh, then he became a baseball. Well, that's like all the immigrants a little bit. You know, they didn't know anything about baseball. My dad came over first, then my mother came over first. I had two brothers. The two oldest ones were born in Italy. And then he got to know the game. Then I always told my dad, I said, Dad, you know, you could have been a millionaire if you let your sons play ball. He said, well, blame your mother.
You know, I've heard the story about Freddie Hutchinson and some of the guys went to see you in Norfolk.
Yeah.
And I think Frank Slocum used to tell the story about they would see you playing the outfield and they would make jokes. And then one day Hutchinson was riding home and he said, I got a question for you. And they said, what's the question? He said, when are they going to get that little Italian kid out? So you must have been having a good year in Norfolk.
Well, I only hit 253 my first year. You know, one guy hit 300 there the first year. We used them dead balls then, you know, that's during the war. Jack Phillips, you remember Jack Phillips played? Yeah. He played with us. 8 home runs only led the league. And we got in the playoffs. I hit 4 home runs in the playoffs. And they gave us a little live balls. And we won the playoffs. We finished fourth in the division, but we won the playoffs.
Tell us what that was like. Now, you're a young kid. You've probably never been out of St. Louis, and all of a sudden you're playing ball in Norfolk. Tell us what your – did you ever have any doubts, or were you pretty sure you could make it?
Yeah, I think I could. I had in mind. I think I could play up the play. But actually – when I started in Norfolk, see, I wasn't a catcher. I was an outfielder. Yeah. That's when they started making me a catcher there a little bit. And the first game I caught there, Faye, remember this very clear. First ball I went up. I never played under lights, you know, like this. And foul ball went up. I said, I got it. And the third baseman was right there. I said, okay, you got it. Darn ball landed about 10 feet from me. And we lost the game, so.
Who was the manager there?
Shaky Kane. He used to referee the football games in Wake Forest and William & Mary and all them.
And was he nice to you? I mean, was he helpful?
Yeah, he was very good, very good manager.
And who were other players? Did you make some friends that you enjoyed in those years?
I made more in AAA because, you know, I got to play in AAA, you know, got to know who I played against. This was only Class B ball I played. Well, I learned a lot when I came back from overseas during the war. Played at New London Submarine. We had Jim Gleason was our manager. We had Walter Massey, the pitcher for us. We had Joe Glenn, the catcher. And a few other guys, Don Anderson and Thompson, the pitcher who used to pitch for Cincinnati. And that really helped me, I think. You know, it gave me a year to play. We played about 100 games there.
In New London?
In New London, Assembly. We played all the stations, you know, people, and then they had a league themselves. And That helped me. Like other teams had some big league ball player. Billy Johnson played for Pawtucket. And Randy Gumpert pitched up there too. And
you were a minor leaguer, and then you went into the service at what age to meet these gentlemen?
18.
Were you drafted?
Yeah.
But you went in the Navy.
After my senior, they let me, they drafted me on my birthday, and they said you could finish the season, then go. Then I had to go to Richmond, Virginia to sign in. They asked me what I wanted to get, and I said the Navy. So, okay. And I said, how long does the Navy get? Now, how long could I stay home? And they said, oh, you only got a week, and you got to keep back. I said, how long does the Army got? They said, they got a month. I said, geez, I want to go back. You know, he said, sorry, you're in the Navy.
Why did you pick the Navy?
Well, some guy wanted me over there at the naval base. And what do you call it? He said, I could get you over here to play with our team over here.
You mean in New London?
New London. Yeah. In Norfolk.
Oh, I see, the Norfolk.
Norfolk.
Can you explain that to people who might not understand why there were people drafted or chosen specifically to play baseball during the war? No, what was the importance of that? Why did they have teams?
I don't know. I really don't know on that part.
But you had a very interesting career in the Navy. I want to talk a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. When you went in the service mm-hmm. and you ended up in New London, what were you training to do? What was your...
New London, I got there after overseas. I took boot camp at Bainbridge, Maryland. And then they sent us to Norfolk, Virginia for training. They had the amphibs there. And geez, we got tired just laying around. Then they come out, we went to volunteers to be on this new boat that came out, the rocket boat, LCSS. And I volunteered just so the heck of it, you know, to be doing something. So we took our training in Bainbridge, Maryland, in the water, and we weren't allowed to write home what we were doing or anything.
They were getting ready for D-Day.
D-Day, getting ready for that. You know, we had three 30 caliber machine gun, a twin 50, and 12 rockets on each side. It was only 36-footer and six men and an officer on it. That's it.
And your job was to go in, launch those rockets,
we went
and
in
get
before.
Out.
No, we stayed there.
Launched the rockets?
Oh, yeah. We stayed there to protect in case they ran into any... actually, we could fire more rockets. We didn't just have 24, and we had a load of rockets on there. And we went in about 300 or 400 yards from the beach, and we fired the rockets. If it hits on the beach, then you let them all go. You could shoot one at a time, you could shoot two at a time, you could shoot all 12 if you wanted to.
You know, D-Day has become a very important part of American history. You mm-hmm. were there. Mm-hmm. Can we spend a little time talking about the run-up to D-Day? How did they send you to England? Did you train over in England?
Oh, yeah, we went over there and trained, sure. Went to Plymouth, Weymouth and Plymouth.
And you stayed there?
Yeah, until
the
invasion.
But you knew the invasion was coming. And
yeah. We actually went out the first day and we came back because of the weather.
Because of the rain, yeah.
The weather we had.
Yeah. Then that was on June 6th, 7th.
And then the next day, we're going in regardless because high tide, it's going to be low tide. It won't be any good to go in there.
Talk to us about that day. I mean, you knew this was an incredibly important day, and you were going over early. Were you one of the first ships going over to get under the beach?
Well, we never went on the beach. We always stayed on the...
No, but I mean, where were you in the invasion flotilla? Were you up front, or were you sort of... in the middle, when all those ships headed over toward Normandy,
We were on a Bayfield, U.S. Bayfield, it was a Coast Guard ship. We worked off of there, mm-hmm. and we got off and we go in. We go in before the Army went in.
So a larger boat carried boat, and then
carried
they offloaded
you. They carried six of our boats, each transports or whoever was there. They carried six of them. We had about 12 of them made. You know, we would form a V. And then we were spread out about 40 yards apart, and you go in.
What beach were you off? Do you remember
Omaha. Yeah, by Sherbert.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought it was like 4th of July. I was only 18 years old. No kidding. I thought it was pretty, the light and everything. And then you don't even know you're a warrior. You're just looking up at my officer. You better get your head down in here, he says. So we went in and we stayed down. We stayed on the water for about 10 days. Wow. They loaded us down with K rations and everything on there. They used us for a messaging boat, go from Omaha to Utah Beach, back and forth. And they used us to track mines.
Yeah.
We would look to see if we got any mines. And then we came back, we were so tired. When we went back on the ship on the Bayfield, we finally got to get the rest a little bit. And when I got in the bunk, the GQ rings. We fired, you know, at an air raid. I said, the heck, oh, if it hits, tough luck. I'm not getting out of bed. But we didn't have no stations then, you know what to do.
So you were, I mean, from D-Day, which was June 6th, you were out there 10 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then we stayed there. We came back. We went to Naples, Italy. Then I made the Southern France invasion. The funny part on that one, you know, we stayed there for a little while in Naples. We were wondering, when are we going to Southern France? So I told my officer, I said, I'm going to go to Rome. He said, well, you're taking a chance. Now, we don't know what's going to happen. I can't protect you if you go. So I took a chance and went. And the funny part about it, I was hitchhiking. And I met two guys from the hill that was going up to the front.
Really?
Driving a truck. Cacatar and old Danny. They drove me up to Rome. I stayed there for 3 days and came back, which I come back.
Looking for family, Yogi, or just to see
Rome, you know, just to get away from Naples a little bit, do a little sightseeing. And I came back. Then about a week or later, we made the invasion of Southern France. We only stayed there 1 day in Southern France.
That was much easier.
Yeah.
Going back to Normandy for a second, was there any thought in an 18-year-old's mind that, A, you were making history, or was there any fear that this invasion might not work and what would happen
if it
didn't?
No, with all them ships I saw, I've never seen so many ships and airplanes we had. No kidding, it was amazing. We had one day we had orders to shoot anything that come below the crowd. And somebody shot down one of our planes, you know, it came below the. And we were the closest to him when he came down with the parachute. And we said, oh boy, we're going to get a German. We'll bring him on this. And he was cussing like mad. He hollering. He said, if you guys shoot down as many planes as yours, the war would be over a long time ago.
That when the guns opened up on D-Day, it must have been a thunderous noise.
That's what, like I said, it was like 4th of July. You see all them flashes. You know, it was 5 o'clock in the morning.
But you were there, and it was going pretty. It was tough going on Omaha. I mean, Utah was much easier, but Omaha.
Oh yeah, Utah, Omaha was tough.
Did you know as it was going on that it was?
No, we were on this side. Then until we became messengers to go back and forth, we saw what was going on. It was pretty tough down there. They had the mountains over there.
Yeah, those big hills.
Big hills to climb. Ours didn't have.
Pontahawk, mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you been back to Normandy since the war?
No, I haven't.
You want to go back. You would really enjoy seeing.
They say the one in New Orleans is supposed to be a beauty.
It is,
you know,
the
memory.
Yeah, but you ought to go to Normandy sometime, mm-hmm. And you would find it wonderful. So how long after the Southern invasion were you over there? When did you come back to the States?
Oh, I came back, I forget when I came back. I know I got out on my birthday. And I went home. I was ready to go to Kansas City. And I get a phone call, report to Newark instead of Kansas City.
Kansas City was a AAA team.
AAA, and Newark was AAA. We had two AAAs.
But the Newark team was really loaded in those days, wasn't it?
Our team was. We came in fourth. Before it was loaded, but we weren't. But we had some pretty good players, though, that did come out of there. You know, we had Vic Rashi, Bobby Brown, Dwayne Paulette, Ellie Clark, myself.
Gordon had already gone through there, huh?
Oh, yeah. They would go. Keller went through there. Yeah. They had a lot of good players over there. But I wanted to go to Kansas City because it's close to home, Missouri. I came all the way. I joined the club in Rochester. And then the clubhouse, and the funny part about it, you know, the trainer took care of everything then.
This was 46.
Yeah, 46. And the trainer come in. I come in, I said, where's my locker? He had me hanging on a nail somewhere, you know, he didn't know I was. I said, I belong to the team. I came over here. Then I didn't play right away. Selkirk was our manager then.
But you were an outfielder still?
No, I caught a little bit. I called a bit. I caught an outfield pitch. I mean, catcher and outfielder in Newark too, same way. And I played against Eddie Robinson, Billy Pierce, Billy Gray, Lou Kretlow, Eddie. There was a few of them that played.
But after you'd been overseas, when you came back to New London, you played a lot of baseball. Mm-hmm. That was in 45.
Yeah,
so you had played some after.
Yeah, just played 1 year there. That's all.
And when you got to.
See, they gave points out before, you know, I might have got out early. They gave points out. So I had to make it up. So they got you enough points to get out of the service. They sent me to Bainbridge and said, you're out and you get to go.
Did you lose anything during the war when you came back? Did you find yourself rusty, or was the New London experience enough?
No, that was a good experience. That was like playing AAA then, because you had good ball players in there, good pitching and everything. And
so New London must have been nice duty then.
No, it was. I got to be ship's company there. That was good. The baseball. We built our own ball field there, you know, with Jimmy Gleason. You know, Gleason, when he saw me, he said, what do you do? I said, I play ball. He said, what team? I said, no, I play with Norfolk. He didn't believe me. He thought I was a fighter. And he never started me right away. I pinch hit and I hit a home run. He said, then I start to play. And, you know, we played the Giants. We played Washington. We played the St. Louis Browns. I played against Pete Gray, the one arm, when, you know, it was during the war.
Yogi, did you ever have trouble hitting? I mean, was it all? Yeah, you could always hit a fastball. Did the curve ever give you trouble? I mean,
no, not too much.
You could hit just naturally.
Just hit. I saw the ball, Faye, hit it. That's what I always say. I saw it good and I hit it.
Yogi, did you ever have trouble convincing people? Did anyone ever say, you're too small, you're too this, you're too that, or you don't fit the profile of a ball
small.
Player?
Well, I was very knock-kneed. I didn't look like a ball player. Then, you know, and, I was awkward a little bit. But I was pretty quick at the beginning. You know, I ran track. Our school, Shaw School, we used to have like a summer playground there.